All right, get down there before you make me cry. You're a jerk. Andrew, is this your water over here? Yeah. Okay, because I was going to drink it if it wasn't, because I thought it was mine. Okay. All right. You can take your Bible and turn to Psalm 89. Oh, it's a wild thing. I was talking to somebody the other day about this whole ordeal and just going on faith. I said, you know, if I just don't think, I'm fine. If I just I'm not even going to think about it, then time goes by and then you just kind of roll with the faith of it and just don't think. And that's worked all right for me. But then sometimes I'll sit here and I'll start thinking and then it gets a little overwhelming when you start to think. I mean, I'm telling you, try not to think as much. It's a lot easier. But I've been working on that. Tanya can tell you. The Bible says in Psalm 89:13, it just says, strong is thy hand and high is thy right hand. Now, I'm just going to pull that out of there real quick, and I'm going to start with a story. So back in 2019, however old Sadie was, she was probably four, I guess. Somewhere in there. Well, let's back up. So I was walking in my bedroom and our bed frames, the bottom of them, they just always pop out and they try to catch my little toe. And they typically do. It's just, I don't know. I cut corners close. But I was walking in our bedroom and I caught the corner of it and ripped back my toenail on my little toe and it was bleeding and it felt great. And I loved it. Anybody that's ever hit their little toe is the best thing in the world. Always enjoyable. So it was bloody, and I had a Band-Aid, and she saw it, and saw the blood and stuff, and she's freaking out and whatever. And it's like, it's okay. I had the Band-Aid on it. Well, the next day, I had taken a shower, because I do that typically every day as well. And so the blood's gone, no need for a Band-Aid anymore. And she saw it, and she goes, well, why don't you have a Band-Aid on it anymore? I said, well, it's not bleeding anymore. It's okay. She said, well, I said, well, you know, God took care of it. She goes, well, did you see his hand? I said, whew. And that sparked a thought. That sparked a thought of the hand of God. And did you see his hand? Did you see his hand? See, she thought I could. And you can. But man, so many times we don't. So I'm going to stop crying and I'm going to pray and then we'll get into the message. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for tonight, for this place. Father, I ask you just give me some grace to get through this sermon and to be more of a blessing than a blubbering mess, Father. And I thank you just for who you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, crying's over. So we're going to look at a few things tonight about the hand of God, just God's hand, and ask yourself, did you see his hand? Did you see his hand? So first, let's go over to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. I do appreciate Pastor Kenny finally saying something nice about me. It's been a long time coming. So. So Psalm chapter 12, we'll read verses 6 and 7, very familiar verses in this church. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, the first thing we're going to look at with the hand of God, a preserving hand. You know, the Bible says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers. In Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You say, well, what is his truth? Well, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. This book. First Peter 1 says, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Not just a short bit of time, forever. From Job in 1780-ish BC through John in 90 AD, God preserved the words. Coming up through, if you want to turn there in Exodus, I'm going to flip back to Exodus 31. But in Exodus 31, in verse 18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Moses saw his hand. Moses saw his hand back then, way back then. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 10, he talks about it happening again. Deuteronomy 10:2, and I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. Now, and there's your first copy right there, so that's not even an original after that. Everybody that says, oh, you got to go back to the originals, well, the Lord had a second copy right there. But just going through time with that happening there, going through with Jehoiakim cutting up with a penknife and casting into the fire the scroll there, the scripture, and Baruch having to write it again. Well, there's another copy. Coming up through the years after that and through the church ages, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, his words have been preserved through time. Starting in the Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, Old Syriac, Old Latin, German, and being completed with the English. His hand has been through it all, on it all, through the persecution of the first disciples that walked with the Lord. Man, what a wild thing that must have been. Through the Monotheists, the Donatists, the Bogomiles, the Lollards, the Waldensians, and thousands that stood for the Scriptures. They withstood martyrdom, horrible deaths, and persecutions. Through all of that, God's word still settled forever in heaven. Still, his hand through it all. The Lord gave people strength to keep these physical copies of scriptures, to write these copies of scriptures. With his hand on them, they withstood persecution, ridicule, hardships for the scriptures' sake. Coming up again through time, the Tyndale Bible in 1525, the Coverdale, the Matthew Bible, the Great Bible, the Geneva, the bishops, and then to the King James in 1611. God's hand was on all of that. You know, something interesting about William Tyndale. You know, the hand of God was on that man. And you look through time, he was born in 1494. He died in 1536. He was only 42 years old when he died. Well, how did he die? He died execution by strangulation and then burned. But what did he do? Translated a New Testament. Translated a lot of an Old Testament. Now, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? Well, the hand of God was on the man. The hand of God was on the man. His translations were reused by English editions after that. We've already mentioned the Great Bible, the Bishop's Bible. And then after 7 years of work being completed in 1611, the King James Bible, with 47 scholars working on that, they drew extensively from Tyndale's original work and other translations that descended from his. One estimate suggests that the New Testament in the King James Version is 83% Tyndale's words, and the first half of the Old Testament is 76%. Now, that means a lot for you and I with what you have in your hand right now. And the man, he was martyred for that sake. Now, going through that, it'd be hard to say, oh, the hand of God is all over this man in the early 1500s. Or just seeing the hand of God working there, but it did. Because what's happening right now in Marville, we're talking about his place in the scriptures just coming through time. And without that work, I mean, if he hadn't have stepped out on faith and did what he did, his work wouldn't be available for, you know, those translators for the King James Bible to use. You know, God's hand was on these people. Sure, in the moment they might not know it or see it, but his hand is there. The reason you don't see his hand is you've taken this book for granted. Taking it for granted. I've been there. Oh, it's embarrassing. It's shameful to think that you could have a Bible and just leave it on a shelf and not read any other one, you know, and just forget about your Bible. I mean, I've been there before. I was there years back and just didn't really care. And at the same time, there's people that they don't take it for granted because, I mean, people that are ministered to around this world that, man, if they get caught with a piece of paper that's scripture, they're in trouble. They're maybe put to death. And they're just... And here we are in a room full of them. Full of them. Anybody that wants a Bible right now could easily have one just like that. Brand new ones up in the front room. But we don't think about God's hand. See, if we thought about God's hand on the scriptures, his preserving hand, preserving his word, he said he'd preserve it forever. If we thought about the preserving hand, we wouldn't take this book for granted. It'd be more precious to us. It would be what it ought to be. But it's not. If he wasn't able to preserve his words, then you'd have nothing to trust. Nothing. You'd have nothing to trust. It's in a King James Bible. Well, it's right here in this building. It's incredible when you go through the history, and we're not going through Bible history right now. I'm not going through King James Bible teaching and stuff. But man, if you go through and line things up, it is incredible. It is incredible. A preserving hand. The hand of God. Did you see his hand? Can you see it? When you look at this book right here, do you see God's hand and what happened throughout hundreds of years just to have this in your lap? He's preserved it. It's going to be preserved forever. It's not just going to end in a couple years. It's not just going to end when the tribulation hits. It's not going to end when the millennium hits. It's preserved forever. Forever is not a time frame. That's eternity. Secondly, Philippians 4:19. He had a preserving hand, and now he has a providing hand. A very familiar verse, 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Things that seem impossible. It's not just the easy things. It's the hard things. More impossible than not. Look at Mark chapter 6. Another familiar passage, but man, it is good to see it, think about it, and consider what he's done. You know, and we read passages like this so often that it becomes so common that we don't see it as a miracle. We just see it as the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We don't see how incredible it is, really, just because it's so normal to us that the awe of it is gone. It just shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be, honestly. I mean, nothing in this should lose the awe, but it just does as we are humans and our flesh just gets to the better half of us. But man, in Mark chapter 6, it's incredible. Verse number 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place. I'd rather it be a desert place, but a desert place, that's next week. A desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes he divided among all them. And they did all eat and were filled. It's a providing hand. It's an a hand that provides impossible things. If the thing you need is in God's hand, God will provide it. The thing these folks needed was food, and it was his hand. Verse number 41, and when he had taken the five loaves, he didn't grab it with his elbows, it was his hands. He took those five loaves and the two fish, and it was his providing hands that provided that meal for all those folks, 5,000 plus. You may say, well, how is it possible? Well, in Luke, the Bible says, consider the ravens. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? You have to let it go. You have to let go of it in order for him to have it to be in his hand. If I were to go up to, I'm not going to use that, but if I were to go up to Kevin, Pastor Thomas, and to hand him this tissue because he's probably going to be bawling, and say, here, this is for you, and then I just kind of hold it right here, it's got to be in his hand. Here you go, buddy. Yeah, no problem. See, I had to let go and give it to him for it to be in his hand, whatever the problem might be. You know, in verse 28 of Luke 12, where I was just reading out of, verse 28 says, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Like I said, you have to let go of it in order for it to be in his hand. Let him have it. It's a providing hand. He'll give you what you need, exactly what you need. His hand, it's provided the scriptures, like we talked about the scriptures being preserved, and he's provided them to you and I freely to have today. We don't have to hide in a dark room. It's right here in the open, freely. It's provided the preachers that we have. You know, you've heard somebody say, oh, he's got the hand of God on him. And that's true for a lot of good Bible-believing pastors. His hand's provided many preachers throughout time to feed the flock of God. Just like the feeding of the 5,000 in Luke, he feeds the church through the preachers. See, the Lord gave those breads and the disciples, they handed that stuff out. And the same thing's happening here in Emmanuel in good churches throughout this country and all over this world. The Lord has given preachers, given pastors what they need to feed the flock of God. Exactly what they need. Why would God give somebody something they don't need? He'll give you what you need. To feed the flock of God, to exalt the Savior, and evangelize the lost. Think of all the times that you've gotten just what you needed at that very moment in time from a sermon preached. It is incredible. It's wild. When you're sitting in a church service, and all of a sudden, the preacher is just, it's like he read your thoughts from that night before. The Lord probably did, not him. But, man, he's given you exactly what you need for that day. Not for yesterday. He'd be like, oh, God, you're a day late. Seriously? You know, it doesn't work like that. He's going to give it to you. It's wild how that works. Spend some time in church and you'll see that happening. Amen. That's the hand of God providing for you through the preacher. You know, it was just a funny thing that he'll provide through the scripture and stuff. You know, obviously I have concerns and different worries and stuff about just the future. In about a week and a half, I'm going to be unemployed. I'm not going to finish a quote that I'd like to finish, but in Tennessee, not Greenland. But there we go. But so anyways, this devotional, it's a really good devotional by the floor. And it's My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers, excellent devotional. But anyways, I grabbed it because our books have been just all over. Some are in Tennessee, some are up here. And I was like, oh, there it is. Okay, perfect. Avery hasn't eaten it yet, so I'll take a look at it. So I started reading it again yesterday, and then I was like, all right, tomorrow's the 23rd. I'll catch the 23rd. And I've been concerned, obviously, about, you know, unemployment and all that and just kind of what the future is going to hold. in Tennessee, and it's a very scary thing thinking about it. You know, not having just the comforts that I have now of just the job and everything, you know. So in my Bible reading, I'm in Matthew, and this morning I was like, all right, I was half asleep, grabbing my coffee, and it's like, all right, I'm going to read my devotional, and then I'm going to get into reading my Bible reading in the morning. So I read I grabbed the 23rd and I read it. And it goes, portion of it goes like this: take no thought, which I was like, all right, I've been working on that. Don't take the pressure of forethought upon yourself. It is not only wrong to worry, it is infidelity, because worrying means, yeah, as I'm worrying, you know. Because worrying means that we do not think that God can look after the practical details of our lives. And it is never anything else that worries us. Have you ever noticed that when Jesus said, have you ever noticed what Jesus said would choke the word he puts in us? The devil? No. The cares of the world. Now, interestingly, that was a scripture talking about those parables, which was where I was reading in my Bible reading, right after I was done with that. Now, the funnier thing about that is, when I woke up even more, I realized that this was May 23rd and not March 23rd. I saw an M and I saw a 23. So I wasn't even supposed to be on this page in the devotional, but yes, I was. The Lord put me on this page with the worry stuff and having it line up with my Bible reading for the day. That's what the Lord will do for you. He'll provide something for you. He'll provide for you. You know, in Ezra, it says, talking about the hand of God being on the preacher there, and in 8:22, the Bible says, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. You want the hand of God on you? Seek him. Seek him. You know, I think of all these preachers from Jeremiah and Jonah, Ezra in the Old Testament, to John the Baptist saying, behold the Lamb of God, Stephen, you know, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Paul, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Think of Timothy going through and different preachers, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, Jonathan Edwards, sinners in the hands of an angry God, William Booth with the Salvation Army, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, preach the offense of the cross. Vance Havner, excellent preacher of yesteryear. Mordecai Ham, Percy Ray, Oliver Green, Mays Jackson, Peter S. Ruckman, Harold Seitler. Preachers that you look back now, and I'm sure you have others in your mind, the hand of God was on them. He's provided these for us. I think about our contemporaries that we have, even in this building with Pastor Kenny and Pastor Legault, and Pastor Christian in the past, and just, you step back and look and say, yes, the hand of God is on him. I'm thankful to be in a place like that, where the Lord has provided. Man, you think of where you could be, just a church that's just kind of, okay, what do you think about what that Bible verse says? Okay, what do you think about it? What do we all think about it? All right, let's go home. You know, it's not like that. I thank God it's not like that here. But the question you have to ask yourself is, did you see his hand? Yes, everything can be going on, but did you see his hand? Did you see his hand in it all? Looking at all that. It's not just the daily happening in your life. It's not just when you get something, seeing that it's provided by God. Man, just that little thing between this devotional and my scripture, there's no other way to explain it, but besides the Lord just giving me a little something there. Amen. You know? But if you get away from scripture, if you get away from where you ought to be in your Christian life, you won't be picking up a Bible, you won't be picking this up, so you won't catch those things that the Lord has for you. The things that he wants to provide for you, you're just not going to be grabbing them. He's going to be giving them out, handing them out to you, and you're just not around to pick them up. No consideration at all about it. Did you see his hand? You need to think about, was that God's hand on that? Was that God providing something for me? Maybe providing through just not giving me something, provided a peace of mind later on down the road. Amen. because you didn't get something that you thought you might should? Last thing that we're going to look at is a protecting hand. Isaiah 41:13. Fine, we can go ahead and turn there. Isaiah 41:13, the Bible says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Sadie, come here. Yes, Sadie DeFerio, yes. Yes. Quickly, or else you're grounded. You're making me look bad in front of my friends. So, the protecting hand. This right hand, all right. So, give me your hand. There we go. So, as long as she's in my hand, lean backwards. No, stand up on the step and lean back. Keep leaning. Don't worry. I'm not going to let go. You let go. Let go. I still have you. Right? All right, you can go sit. Thank you. Not gonna cry. Nope, don't eat him. Take him away. When you let go, he's not letting go. Amen. He's protecting. He's gotcha. I mean, I would use my left hand because I'm left-handed, but that's neither here nor there. But he's got you. Like I said, when she let go, it didn't matter because I still had her. When you feel like you're gonna let go, he still got you. Amen. He's still holding on. Whew. Isaiah 59:1, behold. Like, hey, listen to this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. All those close calls that you've had or maybe a family member's had, I would contribute God's protecting hand to the avoided danger. You need to stop and realize that he's there all the time. He's there. The Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. Realizing like everything that you're going through in life, all those close calls, all those, wow, I cannot believe, what are the chances? That's God protecting you. That's God protecting you. His protecting hand. But like I said, if you become removed from some things, you don't consider it. There's no gratefulness for it. And you don't contribute it to his protecting hand. You just think it's a, wow, I was lucky there. Yes, you should have the proper practical preparations for your life in different situations that arise. But the main focus should be understanding that it's ultimately God's hand that protects you. Amen. You know, in Song of Solomon, it talks about his right hand doth embrace me. Man, that's pulling it in close. That's, man, when you're embracing somebody, you got them right around you. You're not letting go. I'm glad it says that it doth embrace me. It doesn't say it did or could. It doth. It's continuing. It's happening. You know, Darlene Rose, she was 4 years prisoner of war. She, in 1938, she went to Papua New Guinea. With her first husband, Russell, for missions, captured by the Japanese Imperial Army. Men and women separated for separate POW camps. Before the truck pulled away, the last thing that she ever heard her husband say was, "Remember one thing, dear, God said he would never leave us nor forsake us." And that was the last time she had ever heard from her husband, ever. Now, here's just a little testimony. Just a little testimony of Darlene. She said, one time during an air raid, Darlene found herself hunched on a mattress in her trench when she thought of a Bible a friend lent her. She had left it in the barracks and would hate to see it destroyed, so she risked her life to save it. as she ran and entered the barracks. Bombs dropped and POWs ran for their lives in every direction. Darlene didn't return to her mattress in the trench until a while after the raid ended. And when she did, she realized that bomb had destroyed the mattress that she was on and would have killed her. God gave her the desire to save the Bible in order to save her. You know, things don't just happen just to happen. Lord protected her. You say, wow, that's miraculous. Yes, and he can do it for you. See where her head was? See where her heart was? My Bible. Man, if you're close to the Lord, if you're like that with God, or striving at least to be like that, you're in the book, you're in church, you're trying to do right. Maybe you're messing up, but that's okay. Just try to do right. The Lord might save you from something dangerous like this. If she didn't have any thought about the scripture, she would have been gone like that. You know, when that bomb had hit. But the Lord saved her throughout that. It's a protecting hand. Harlan Popoff, he was 13 years in a Bulgarian communist prison. After release in 1961, his life was to inform the world about persecuted Christians and to bring God's word into communist countries where Bibles had been confiscated and burned. Did you see God's hand? Do you see his hand looking at these? Maybe at the time when Harlan Popoff, when he's in that prison, he's just getting beat and beat and beat. Is he thinking, well, this is God's hand hitting me? But now looking, like I said, his example right now speaks volumes. Throughout the world. Do you see his hand in it? Do you see his hand in Darlene? You ought to read Darlene Rose's book. There's actually audio of her actually giving her testimony. Her testimony is pretty incredible. Did you see his hand through all those instances that happened in your life? Or did you just didn't care? Oh, man, that was a close one. Glad that didn't happen. That's the question that you need to ask. Did you see his hand? There was a man named John Campbell. He was known as Johnny the Baptist. He was an evangelist. He was in the ministry for 50 years, over 50 years. He had Parkinson's. He had kidney cancer. You know, and that man, he was a squirrely man. I remember the last time I saw him, the first and last time I saw him, he actually had a stuffed squirrel. And he used it for illustration. Tanya, he went to her church growing up quite a bit in Indiana for meetings. And she said he's just a wild man, just some crazy illustrations. But I mean, I remember the, you know, are you a nut for God or something? I can't remember what the illustration was exactly. But this man shaking like crazy, trying to pick this squirrel up and just give this illustration and preach. And he's just going and going as an evangelist, dealing with those problems. But all you need is God's hand on you and to stay under it. And that's what he was doing. You know, wrapping this up, did you see his hand? Did you see God's hand? Did you see it through the scriptures? The preserving hand? What he's preserved for you and I? That's pretty incredible. The providing hand, day in and day out. Oh, man, great is thy faithfulness. You know, they're just providing. Tomorrow, he'll provide for you. Next week, he'll provide for you. You say, well, my next week is up in the air. I have no idea what's going to happen for my next week. God knows. He'll provide for you. Trust him. Lean on him. Lean in a little more. Lean in just a little bit more. Let that right hand just give a little tighter embrace. Hold a little bit tighter on. And that protecting hand. Whatever you're going through, he's protecting you. You say, well, it doesn't look like it, but he is. Say, I've got to let go. Go ahead. He's not going to let go. He's there for you, no matter what. You know, I asked that fellow, Johnny the Baptist there, I asked him some advice. He said the advice he gave me was stay by the book, stay by good men, and don't quit. That was a 79-year-old man or so, and close to 80, and just hand of God on the man. And I'm sitting there thinking, I could see the hand of God on him. Do you see the hand of God tonight? There's a boy named Easton. He was 8 to 10 years old. Lost his father in August of 2020 to stage 4 colon cancer. The hand of God is the only thing that's going to get him through. Only thing. If you were to take a step back right now, I'm sure you'd be, and thought about it, you could see his hand someplace. But you have to take a step back and look. Stop, you're in the middle of a storm. You're in the middle of whatever's going on. And yes, when things get heavy, when storms come hard, you don't sit there and think, oh, how wonderful the preserved word of God is, which it is, but you don't think about it. You don't think about what he's provided over and over because you're just wrapped around it, around the problem. And the protection, you're just not thinking about the protection, you're thinking about the problem. Step back and just say, okay, I've got to look for his hand. I know it's here. I know it's here. You'll see it. You'll see it. I'll finish with this. It's not for me to mark the path that is best for me to take, for I know not where the pitfalls lie that would put my life at stake. It is not for me to say what comes, whether it's joy or sorrow, for my Father has for me a plan today and for tomorrow. I am covered by the hand of God. I will not fear, come what may. For my Father knows what's up ahead, and I know he leads the way. And should the plans that he has for me not be my choice or desire, even so I know he makes a way, though I walk through flood or fire. Yes, I am safe in the hand of God today and those that have passed, and will walk together all the way as long as this life shall last. And when at last my journey is done, I shall see him face to face and praise him for all eternity for his unmerited grace. The hand of God. Did you see it? Can you see it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being there for us, even when we don't care, even then when we just have no desire to even hold on, Father, you still have us. Lord, I ask you just, I pray that this was just a help to somebody tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.